Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren, he's the Executive Director at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Not bad. I'm not throwing a cadenza this morning.
But interesting though, hey? That it's a South, even though it's Italian, it's actually primarily a South African expression.
Indeed.
I didn't. Well, we learn something here every day. It's something to learn from you. This new variant, the BA.2.75, tell us about it.
Yes, so apparently this particular variant has been observed, I think, in India, or it's been associated with surges of infections in India. I think that's where it started off, and I understand it is now in a few other countries. And I suppose the interest in this particular variant is that it has additional mutations or changes in its sequence, and that may influence its behavior, or it's thought to influence its behavior. So it has certainly been identified, as I said, in other countries. However, we've not detected that this particular variant in South Africa, as far as I'm aware. But obviously we do have a network of laboratories that are sequencing. But of course, if we're not testing, and as you know, the numbers are fairly low, we may not detect it early enough, possibly. But I think we just need to not throw a cadenza, but really just be aware that these variants are in circulation. They will certainly arise. The implications are not always obvious. So we just need to see how this turns out. As you know, for example, I think it's BA4 and BA5 were certainly detected and are in circulation in South Africa, and yet we're not seeing what is being observed in the United States and the UK in terms of numbers of cases, hospitalizations, for example.
So why would that be?
Yes.
Why would that be?
I think it may link to the complexities around, for example, previous exposures, vaccination history, at the demographics of the different countries. So these are factors that we do need to, I think, start taking into account when we look at the different pictures that are certainly emerging.
Is this the normal pattern that a pandemic follows? Has COVID veered away from past pandemics in terms of behavior?
Not really. I think if you think of the Spanish flu, for example, I think we certainly had fairly continuous waves. I think it was two, three years, if I recall, of that specific influenza variant or strain, rather. And so I think what we're seeing now, I suppose, is in part because we have so many other tools that we have available. The genomics, for example, is really change the way in which we've been looking at how this virus actually behaves and has changed over time. And the numbers of variants that have been thrown up as a consequence of our ability to sequence at such scale.
Right.
I think that makes it really rather different. And I think that's our intense focus, is to say, what is the next variant and how will it develop? So I think it is important to be aware that there are other variants that are not causing marked changes or surges that we are currently seeing, but certainly some variants are still there, and I don't think we should become complacent in the sense that we do not know what will be in the future in terms of variants and how they will change and behave. And therefore, I think it's important that we continue to be vigilant as to what is in circulation and what the implications would be. And of course, the scientific focus is obviously to have vaccines that will be able to tackle most of these particular variants that will arise. But I think that may not always be easy. I know influenza has been quite a challenge. You know, to have a so-called universal flu vaccine is one of the holy grails. And I presume similarly with COVID-19, that having a universal vaccine will be really critical. Otherwise, because we can't really boost our way out of this, I would think. We would like to have a vaccine that you can give once a year, rather than having, you know, every 6 months. It's our understanding.
So how often, that was going to be my next question, is how often, because I think the danger now is that we've kind of starting to forget about COVID. So does that mean that if I've had my last booster 5 months ago, that it now becomes important to have another booster? What is the latest thinking on that?
Yeah, so At least, it depends on what the variants are in circulation, whether the boosters will assist. Because I think if there is waning immunity, then that's a possibility of, for example, reinfection, unless, again, as I said, it becomes a bit complex. It depends on what you've been pre-exposed to and whether you've had natural infection. So all these particular factors certainly add up in terms of whether or not you do require a booster or not, or if there's a new variant in circulation, what level of protection will you have? Maybe not against infection, but at least the immune response will be sufficiently stable, especially the T-cell responses with regard to preventing severe disease and hospitalizations and death. And I think that's what I think we're holding on to as a key factor. So yes, we'll accept the fact that there may be numbers of infections, but in terms of protection, in terms of severe disease, at least the T-cell responses will be intact.
Yes. So therefore, shouldn't we be rather looking, instead of the number of infections around, is the number of hospitalizations as a measure?
I think that that is an important measure. And I think that several countries, including South Africa as well, have changed the sort of direction and the discussion. The narrative is really not to focus and fetishize about the daily numbers, but really to look at specific outcomes such as hospitalizations and death in particular.
Right.
Because again, I think the way in which we're testing, as I said probably a few weeks back, has really changed as well. People are saying, well, if I have these particular symptoms, it's likely that I may have COVID, but I'm not going to test, for example.
Right.
And we haven't done this in South Africa compared to some other countries, such as the UK and the United States, where self-testing has become
Remarkably
available.
Right. So one of our listeners in Israel saying, in Israel, lots of people are sick with COVID, but they're doing tests at home, so they don't bother reporting their results to the authorities.
Absolutely,
so the official numbers are vastly lower.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that will possibly, I don't know how this will change in South Africa. Again, people will be encouraged, but you're quite right. It's likely that we'll have to be pragmatic and accept that, like influenza, for example. It's in circulation. We encourage people to vaccinate, but we'll have some sense of the numbers and of what's actually happening, whether it's a moderate or mild or severe season. And similarly, I would think that with COVID-19 being in continuous circulation as it is currently through sentinel surveillance, again, we will get a sense of what the trends are like. And hospitalizations will be a key part of those monitoring trends.
At this stage of the pandemic, is it likely that, and obviously everything's always possible, but how likely is it that we'll get a surge that becomes dangerous once again?
So it's one of the scenarios that one would consider. I think, as I said, I don't think we should be complacent, but I think it's one of those matters, given that in terms of the mutations that have arisen have not been exhausted as yet. And mutations that we thought, like the BA.4.5, have been thought to be the most extreme changes. But again, there may well be others, such as the one that we've seen now, 2.75, where we have additional mutations. And what are the implications? I think we just need to... But we've had examples, I think, of variants which have these multiple mutations, but they haven't really gained traction in terms of transmission. So it's... It's really trying to understand the full virus itself rather than, I think, trying to focus on specific mutations. It's that combination of mutations that may lead to highly transmissible viruses, but also highly pathogenic virus.
Yeah, and again, very difficult then, if this does happen, to change people's modes, because we've almost forgotten about this now. I mean, although I was at a mall yesterday, I had to go into a studio there, and when I was about to walk into the mall, and I thought, where's my mask?
And Indeed,
you've almost become, it's become part of us, but I think it won't take long before it just isn't anymore.
Yes, I think so. You're quite right. I think some of us may well, and I'd like to encourage everyone, especially in specific age categories and abilities, to really assess the individual risk, because it has almost come down to that, that there is some guidance out there from the National Department of Health and so on, but it may come down to an individual level to make their own decisions as to how they manage their risk.
And certainly if somebody is feeling unwell, just wear a mask. Do it for everybody around you. It's just...
Or stay at home.
Or stay at home, absolutely. Even better still. It is 6:59. Professor Adrian Puren, thank you as always. Executive Director at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, talking to us about the new BA275 strain.